A river will tell you stories if you will listen close. It has many to tell, for it has seen many things. It knows every creature that has come to sip a drink, as well as every star in the sky that twinkles on its surface. It also knows people, too many to count. It has seen many young lovers who have met by its edge. If you listen, you may hear it sing their love song. The river knows children's laughter and the tears of a mother searching for her lost child. The river also knows secrets that it will never share. With its beauty and unending music, mysteries abound and beauty unfolds. Welcome to Destination Terror, your passport to the scariest places in the world. From haunted hotels to locations of unexplained creature sightings, we will travel to places that will provide excitement, adventure, and horror. Today we are discussing the Hungang River in Seoul, South Korea. The river is a destination for millions of tourists every year, but it has also been a location where many have lost their lives. So if you are into travel and all things scary, listen close, and you might just discover your next exciting adventure destination. But hopefully, not your final destination. Destination Terror is an EerieCast original podcast hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to send us a suggestion or submit a story with your own experience, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter @carmencarrion. If you enjoy the show, please follow and rate Destination Terror on Spotify or Apple Podcasts to help us grow. Also, check out EerieCast.com for more scary podcasts such as Tales from the Break Room, featuring allegedly true and terrifying stories that happened on the job. Growing up in Seoul was hard on a girl Wang Soo-jin's age, especially with the high standards in their society. At the age of 17, your status, story, and even your looks were the three main things that determined who your friends are, or if you even have any. People always looked down on Soo-jin for belonging to a low-income family. She was heavily bullied by her fellow classmates because of this. Her entire school life was lonely. She was an outcast just because she wasn't a part of an influential family. During her high school years is when she started to reach her breaking point. Soo-jin's family was at a point where they may have finally seen the light of hope, only to find out they had been scammed. The money the Wang family had struggled to earn had been taken from them, and if they weren't careful, they would be kicked out of Soo-jin's childhood home. Around this time, Soo-jin had made her first friend, Lee Yong-gi. She was the one person who accepted Soo-jin for who she is. Yong-gi grew up in Australia and came to Soo-jin's school as an exchange student because of her father's work. The teacher had assigned Soo-jin to help her around school and to help her adapt to the new lifestyle. Being together all the time caused them to grow a bond, and so they became friends. They would always bike all around Seoul, going to parks and often visiting the Han River, sitting alongside it and looking up at the stars. It was reaching the end of October when the two girls had gotten into a habit of laying alongside the river and exchanging horror stories they had heard online. They were both scared easily, so they had only been able to tell two or three before one of them ran away screaming from floating trash in the river. They did this to celebrate the spooky season in their own way. Afterward, they would bike their way across the bridge to get home. One night as they rode across the bridge, Yong-gi had yanked on the brakes so hard it caused her to fall over onto the ground with a scream. Soo-jin immediately stopped her bike to check up on her friend. She ran over to Yong-gi to see her looking over at the railing with terror painted across her features. Soo-jin followed her gaze, but was only met with the stars in the sky. Yong-gi! What's wrong? Are you okay? She began to bombard her with questions, shaking her shoulders to get a reaction out of her. Yong-gi suddenly stood up and ran towards the railing, reaching out to nothing and screaming. No! She screeched as she lunged forward, as if she were trying to catch something. Soo-jin panicked when she saw her body go a little too far over the railing, and so she stood up and rushed over to Yonggi. She pulled on her shoulders and yanked her back towards her. Yonggi had tears running down her face and heavy sobs escaped her lips. "Yonggi! Yonggi!" Sujin shook her again, gentler this time.
We have to call the police,"
Yonggi exclaimed, scrambling to her feet and reaching into her bag in search of her phone. Sujin was quick to rush to her side and grab her wrist, wrapping her other arm around her back and rubbing it in a soothing motion. She was confused and alarmed by her friend's sudden panic. There was clearly no reason to call the police. Nothing had happened. It was just them out there and the cars that would pass by. "Yonggi, why would we call the police?" Yonggi whipped her head towards her, looking at her with shock and confusion.
"What do you mean, why? A person just jumped off the bridge, Sujin."
Sujin's mouth fell open and her eyes widened. She looked back over to the railing and back at her friend who had still been staring at her as if she were crazy.
"Why are you looking at me like that?"
"Yonggi, no one jumped off the bridge." Sujin spoke cautiously to try and calm Yonggi down.
Yonggi's arms went limp to her sides as her face went pale. She turned back towards the railing and stared, speechless. She turned her head back towards Sujin and pursed her lips.
"But a woman was standing on the railing and she fell. Sujin, I swear I saw her fall."
Sujin grabbed Yonggi's arm and gently pulled her over towards the railing. She motioned to her friend to peek over it with her, and so she did. When they looked over, it was pitch black and they couldn't see a thing. Yonggi backed away slowly and ran her hands through her hair.
"It's too dark to see if she's down there."
"Yonggi, no one jumped. I looked in the same direction as you and no one was there."
Sujin raised her voice slightly, cutting Yonggi off mid-sentence. Sujin sighed and shook her head, rubbing Yonggi's arm and giving her a soft smile.
"Let's go. I'll walk you home this time."
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Hongdong is a major river in South Korea and the fourth longest river on the Korean peninsula. Though its official name is Hongdong, it is common to hear it called the Han River. The Han River flows 319 miles westward from its origins on Mount Taebaek in the eastern province of Gangwon. While ranking fourth in the peninsula, it comes in second in South Korea. The Han River is the most popular river in Seoul for locals and tourists. In the past, it played an important role in South Korea's history, and today it is still just as important. These days, it's known as a great place to ride bikes, have picnics, and watch late-night light shows. If you ever visit Seoul, you can't miss the Han River because it plays a huge role in Korean people's daily lives. In the past, the Han River was used to trade goods and to transport people across Seoul. When Korea was made up of kingdoms instead of provinces, the different kingdoms would fight over the control of the Han River,
because it was the main connection between Korea and the Yellow Sea. Through the Han River and the Yellow Sea, Korean people were able to trade goods and cultural ideas with China. However, the river is no longer actively used for navigation because its tidal mouth is located at the borders of North and South Korea and is barred for entrance by any civilian. The history of the Han River has many stories to tell, but the most tragic story took place in 1950. The Korean War during the 1950s was filled with tragedies, and as too often happens, the victims were non-combatant civilians. The country was ripped apart by ideologies, and large numbers of people, caring nothing for the politics, were uprooted in their attempts to flee the advancing armies and battles. One of the greatest tragedies during the beginning of the war was the destruction of the Han River Bridge. South Korea was not prepared for the North surprise attack on June 25, 1950. So powerful was the North Korean attack that within 2 days it was apparent to the South's military that Seoul could not be held and would have to be abandoned. Frank Gibney, an American journalist and a noted writer on Asian affairs who has an authority on the culture and business practices of post-war Japan, recalled that for the most part the military's evacuation of the city was quite orderly, with military police directing traffic and soldiers singing as they marched. But it was the thousands of civilians, Gibney wrote, women toting bundles on their heads, and men carrying household goods in wooden frames fastened to their backs, that blocked the approach to the Han River Bridge in their desperate attempt to get out of the city before the arrival of the North Korean troops. It was in the early morning on June 28 that a fateful decision was made to destroy the bridge to prevent the advancing North Korean forces from crossing the river. Colonel Choi Chang-sik, the engineer in charge of the bridge, tried to clear it before it was blown up, but failed. For most, the destruction of the bridge came without warning, and many were killed or wounded. Gibney, who witnessed the destruction, wrote, "Lit only by the glow of the burning truck and occasional headlights, was apocalyptic in frightfulness. All the soldiers in the truck ahead of us had been killed. Bodies of dead and dying were strewn over the bridge, civilians as well as soldiers. Confusion was complete, with the cries of the wounded and the dying forming the background. Scores of refugees were running pell-mell off the bridge and disappearing into the night beyond. It was here that we first noticed the pathetic trust that the Koreans had placed in Americans. For 10 minutes we rested on the grass. Men with bloody faces would come to us, point to their wounds, and say hopefully in English, 'Hospital. You take to hospital.' All we could do was point to our own bloody faces and shake our heads." With the bridge destroyed, refugees were forced to try and find passage on the small boats that piled the river. But these were only able to carry a limited number of passengers. The destruction of the bridge did not stop the North's advance, it only slowed it down. But it came at a high price. Hundreds of people were killed in the initial blasts, and many more perished in their attempt to get across the river, or were caught by the advancing North Koreans. Many that were found floating on the Han River were the bodies of innocent people who were slaughtered and thrown into the river with their hands tied by the North Koreans. Cho, the engineer who had overseen the bridge, was also a victim, but not in the direct sense. Someone had to be held responsible for the great loss of life, and although he was only following orders, he was considered responsible and was executed by a firing squad on September 21, 1950. A later investigation revealed Cho's desperate attempt to clear the bridge, and he was subsequently, after his death, acquitted. Today, despite its tragic history, the Han River offers beautiful scenery throughout the year. Rape blossoms in spring, water skiing in summer, high blue skies in fall, and white snow in winter. The Seoul Metropolitan Government Department of Culture and Tourism describes it the best. "Rapeseed blossoms in spring, duck boats and water skis in summer, clear blue skies and multicolored leaves in the fall, and pristine white snow in winter make Han River Seoul's leading tourist destination no matter what the season. The Han River is full of hidden attractions tucked in every corner that are easily missed if you simply travel back and forth across the river by car. To experience the true charm of the Han River, take a walk along the welcoming banks, or indulge in a relaxing riverboat cruise. Locals say that summer and winter in Korea have seemed to grow longer over time, leaving only a relatively short few weeks for visitors to enjoy the beauty of fall. With the days of fall quickly passing and winter just around the corner, one of the best ways to get the most out of the season is to enjoy one of the area's trademark festivals. The Hongguang area hosts many festivals throughout the year, but fall is the season in which the festivals of Han River truly shine. One of the most exciting and highly anticipated festivals is the Seoul International Fireworks Festival, which creates splendid splashes of color in the sky above the park. The annual festival held in October is participated in by fireworks teams from around the world and is attended by an average of more than 1 million people. In 2014, international teams included those from the United Kingdom, China, and Italy. In 2015, teams from the United States and the Philippines presented fireworks shows with touching American ballads and catchy Filipino pop songs. Another nighttime attraction along the river is the Seoul Bamdokgubi Night Market in the Yeouido Hongguang Park, an event that first made its debut in 2015. Reminiscent of the night markets of Thailand, China, and Taiwan, the Bamdokgubi Night Market has a warm and welcome ambience that is unique to Seoul, an ambience that is only heightened by the magnificent river nightscape and the market's delicious food. The market features mouth-watering dishes from more than 40 food trucks, an outdoor market selling a variety of unique products, a flea market, a mini circus, mime performances, magic shows, and much more. Not to be outdone by its nighttime festivals with their appetizing treats and unforgettable performances, Hongguang during the day offers a treasure trove of rich sights that unfurl their wonders long before the festivals even begin. Take a trip to Yeouido Hongguang Park before the night market begins to see the softer, calmer side of the river. A visit to the river during the day is one of the best ways to experience the striking beauty of season. Unobstructed by buildings, the blue skies above Hongguang Park beckon and invite you to relax and unwind. Walk along the Hongguang waterfront under the white fluffy clouds. In an azure sky, gaze at the flowing river that winds lazily through the heart of the city and breathe in the cool breeze that chases away all memories of the summer heat. There is no other way that you can really appreciate the beauty of the fall sky in Seoul. The park offers a breathtaking view of nature, untouched and thriving in its original beauty. The park is also home to water deer, raccoons, and wildcats. Korean angelica trees and sawtooth oaks grow between willows and reed fields, and wildflowers such as golden samphires and speedwells spring up in bunches. The main reason Hongguang River is so beloved by people of all ages, male and female, is that it offers everything you could possibly ask for: cultural events, nature, and a refreshing environment. The outskirts of Yeouido Hongguang Park are also well known as a hub of beer and fried chicken, a favorite combination among Koreans. Pedaling a bike in the fall breeze and lying on the green grass for a rest, followed by some fried chicken and a cold beer, create a special kind of synergy that cannot be described in words. A popular nighttime activity for foreign visitors to Seoul is the Hongguang River Cruise, which is the perfect way to enjoy the Hongguang nightscape. What has now become a longtime trademark, the Hongguang cruise ship offers a chance not only to enjoy the sights, but also to dine on some delicious cuisine. Even if you are a land lover at heart, there are still many scenic spots at the Hongguang parks that will give you a memorable evening out. One of the best spots in the Bampo Hongguang Park, where you can not only get a look at the elegant moonlight rainbow fountain, but also drink in a panoramic view of Hongguang River enshrouded in darkness. The way Bampo Hongguang Park seems to shine in the moonlight is what puts it at the top of the list as one of the most beautiful night views in Seoul. There are many interesting attractions in the Hongguang vicinity: the Moonlight Rainbow Fountain, the Jamsugyo Bridge, which now has a pedestrian walkway, and Moonlight Square. The Moonlight Rainbow Fountain has even been listed in the Guinness Book of Records as the world's longest bridge fountain, and proudly puts on a beautiful multicolored performance day and night. At night, the fountain show is accompanied by music, making it a must-see Hongguang destination for visitors everywhere. Seoul is a city that never sleeps, Even in the wee hours of the night, restaurants rush orders to people picnicking on the banks of the Hongkong River, and shops are open for business. Instead of ending its day when the sun goes down, the Hongkong River area reveals a whole new set of charms after sunset, making it the most Seoul-like place in Seoul. The people of South Korea have plenty of reasons to be proud of their beautiful city. Even though it sits along the banks of a river that has seen so much tragedy, it manages to shine with life. There is more that you should know before planning a trip to explore the Han River in Seoul. There is an urban legend that takes place on the Jeju-ro motorway that connects Seoul to Baeju in Gyeonggi province and crosses the Han River. Rumor has it that if you drive on Jeju-ro in the middle of the night, you might encounter a woman standing still in the middle of the road. Many people testified that it looked like the woman was wearing sunglasses. However, on a closer look, you could see that it wasn't sunglasses, but black holes dug where her eyes should be. They dubbed her the Hollow-Eyed Woman. The public became aware of the story after celebrities such as Park Shin-hye, Park Hee-yin, and Tak Jae-hoon talked about their encounters with the woman on TV. It seemed like the ghost was standing on the road trying to catch a ride. According to reports, TV station TVN even called an exorcist to help explain the phenomenon, and viewers were told that it was the spirit of a woman in her 20s who had been strangled and killed close to the location. It is no surprise that horrors abound in most large cities. The larger the population, the more likely it is for bad things to happen. That may be the reason that so many people lose or end their lives every year in the Han River. On average, there are 8 bodies found floating down the river a month. The Han River and the city of Seoul offer everything you need for an exciting, yet terrific, destination. As they walked back, pushing their bikes beside them, Yonggi stayed quiet the whole way across the bridge. She was still pale, and Soo-jin could tell she was trembling. Neither of them said a single word as they reached the end of the bridge and started to approach their homes. Yonggi's home was close by. It would only take them around 10 minutes to get there by foot. After they finally reached her home, Soo-jin opened the gate for her, and Yonggi stepped inside. Before she went any further, she paused, tears welling up in her eyes as her bottom lip quivered. "Soo-jin, do you think I'm crazy? I promise I wasn't lying. Please believe me." Soo-jin pulled her crying best friend into a hug and rubbed the back of her head gently. Yoongi sobbed against her shoulder as she wrapped her arms around Soo-jin as well. "You aren't crazy, and even if you were crazy, I would still believe you. You're my best friend." Yonggi pulled away and gave Soo-jin a weak smile before finally walking towards the door of her home. Soo-jin closed the gate after she watched Yonggi walk all the way inside. She let out another sigh and let her shoulders relax. That whole situation had sent a huge feeling of dread tumbling through her heart and stomach. The whole walk to Yonggi's place, she could feel goosebumps on the back of her neck and her chest was pounding. She had a terrible feeling about the whole situation. The truth was, she really did believe Yonggi, because she had seen the same thing the year before. Back then, Soo-jin didn't really have any specific reason to cross the bridge, but one fight with her father on an October night had her going out for a walk to cool off. Every fight she had with him always started with her being angry with him because of his carelessness. He'd often go out and gamble with his friends, blowing money as if he wasn't financially unstable. After a while of cooling off, she'd often just start to feel pity for him. He had become a father at a young age and had to get married early to take care of his new family. She had been walking across the bridge that night, just going wherever her feet would take her, when she caught sight of a woman standing by the railing. The woman was still far away from her, but she could just barely make out the long white gown she wore and the long black hair that curtained her face. As Soo-jin got closer, the woman placed both of her hands on the railing and started to raise her right foot. When Soo-jin realized what was happening, she wasted no time before sprinting towards the woman. She pushed herself as hard as she could, but the woman was already standing on the railing before she could reach her. She watched as the woman began to lean forward. Soo-jin was close enough to her now that she could attempt to grab her before she fell.
No!
She screamed out as she rested her hand on the railing, reaching out to the woman who began to fall to her doom. After the incident, she had blacked out, and she didn't remember anything past that until she woke up the next morning. Thinking back on the scene sent shivers down Soo-jin's spine as she opened the front door to her home. Yelling out a greeting to anyone who may still be awake while slipping her shoes off and placing them off to the side. Her parents usually go to bed early, so when she didn't get a response, she wasn't shocked. She noticed a food container laying out on the table and realized it was her dinner. Her mom had been putting her dinner in that container because she had been coming home late more often after making a friend. As she opened the container and got ready to dig in, her phone started to ring from the inside of her school bag. She placed the lid of the container back on it carefully and then got up from her seat to check her phone. She dug into her bag and immediately found it, grabbing onto it and checking the screen. The words across the screen read, "Yonggi's mom," and Soo-jin felt her heart sink down to her stomach. Why would Yonggi's mom be calling this late at night? Goosebumps scattered across her skin as she slid her thumb across the screen. Raising the phone up to her ear, she answered in a shaky voice. "Hello?" "Soo-jin, where are you?" She could hear fear in the woman's voice. "I'm home," Soo-jin replied, and waited for a question that she felt was coming next. "Is Yonggi with you?" She could hear the desperation in the elder woman's voice. Soo-jin felt nervous. She strangely already knew where this conversation was headed as she forced herself to stay calm. "I left Yonggi at home. I watched her go inside and shut the door," she explained while trying not to give away the fear that she was beginning to embrace. Yonggi's mom made a whimpering sound before she hung up without saying a word. Soo-jin could only think of one place her friend might be, and even though she was scared, she knew she had to go make sure Yonggi was safe. She had her shoes on and was back at the door and grabbing her bike before the light on her phone had time to fade in her pocket. She sped down the street and made it to the bridge in record time. The streetlights were still on, but that didn't make the setting any less creepy. She had slowed down as she made her way to the spot where Yonggi had went into a panic earlier. She saw the bicycle first, laying on its side on the edge of the roadway, and gently she laid hers down next to it and stopped when she heard a voice. It was Yonggi. She was sure of it. Following the sound, she looked and saw her friend standing by the railing where she had been earlier, but this time, she was not alone. On the other side of the railing was a tall woman with long flowing black hair. She was about to yell for Yonggi when the woman turned her face and looked directly at her. Soo-jin felt an icy breeze sweep across her skin as she stared into two large empty sockets where the woman's eyes should have been. She tried to scream, but when she opened her mouth, the world seemed to go into slow motion. She put a foot forward in an effort to run to Yonggi, but it felt as if she was wading through tar. She was moving, but it didn't seem fast enough. She watched in terror as the woman reached and grabbed Yonggi by the shoulder and began to pull her slowly over the railing. Soo-jin ran as hard as she could, fighting the lethargic feeling of unseen powers, and by some miracle made it to her friend just in time to grab her by the back of the coat. The specter turned and stared down at her, with the empty gaping holes in her face and her mouth wide open. She began to let out an otherworldly scream, but Soo-jin did not let go, and the scream began to grow silent as the woman seemed to fade into nothingness right before her eyes. Soo-jin crashed to the ground, pulling Yonggi on top of her. She tried to get up, but was locked in a tight hug as her friend clung to her and began to sob.
"I just wanted to help her," she said between hiccups. "But she tried. She tried to take me with her."
Thank you for joining us to explore the Han River in South Korea with its history, mystery, and beauty. Tune in next week as we discuss the most haunted hotel in Colorado, the Stanley Hotel. I'm Carmen Carrion. Remember, you can send me suggestions and stories of haunted places to my email, carmencarrion@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter @carmencarrion. Be sure to check out eeriecast.com for more terrifying podcasts. Until next time, be safe out there, until I see you at our next destination.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.